This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Please welcome accomplished pitcher and popular broadcaster, Steve Stone.
Yes.
Steve Stone.
The White Sox having success at Birmingham. Are you noticing that? Paying attention to it? Does it portend good things in your mind?
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Let's go down to Brooke to get to know Shane Smith a little better.
Final question for him is, if you had to sing a song in front of a big crowd with no preparation, what song would you go with? He said, Party in the USA. He actually did a little impromptu karaoke in high school in front of the entire school, and Party in the USA was his go-to song. It's always a crowd pleaser, right? And Steve, I know we're working on your playlist here. You got to be a Miley Cyrus fan. You love Party in the USA, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I party everywhere, but the USA is probably the best place to party, yeah.
Steve Stone with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's great to be able to talk ball with Steve Stone. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Stoney, thanks for joining us. Did you rush home to watch the end of the Masters yesterday?
Actually, I didn't. I was very happy with the way it ended. I think Rory McIlroy is a very popular figure on tour. I love the fact that he finally won the Lifetime Grand Slam. I think that's terrific. Anytime you join a club that has less than 10 members, you certainly are getting it done. And he's been at it a long time. He's worked pretty hard at what he's done. And again, I like the ending. So although I didn't get a chance to see it, it was something that made me happy.
Well, you did get a chance to see some real good baseball all weekend long. My partner, Lawrence Holmes, has been very, very happy today. Kind of dunking on the Red Sox broadcasters, if I'm going to be honest there, Steve. He's very pleased with the White Sox showing. How do you feel about it? Did you enjoy how they showed up this weekend?
Well, what I liked was, the Red Sox are a good team. And I think that this series just showed that this is a very unpredictable game. I think our Sox played really well, especially winning a close game and then losing one that they almost won against a guy that was giving them nothing. I mean, Crochet is just a wonderful pitcher. We knew that. He had a great day. I think the irony of the entire weekend was Chase Mydroth breaking up the no-hitter. I thought that was apropos. You find one guy giving Boston exactly what they want, and then the four guys coming back remains to be seen exactly who's going to take the next couple of steps forward. But I think the return for Garrett Crochet was good, and I think we're just going to start to see these guys blossom as they get a bit older.
What are you looking for when someone like Mydroth comes up? What are the things that will indicate to you that he's got an idea of what to do at this level?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at it, guys, and you know the draft history of the White Sox and how a lot of the first-rounders haven't panned out. Garrett Crochet is one of the first-rounders that certainly panned out, and the Sox have done a really nice job developing some young pitchers. But I think what you're looking at at Chase Mydroth is exactly what Nick Madrigal was supposed to be. He was supposed to be a guy that had very quick hands, that could play a couple different positions, that could make contact, that could run well, And the fact is that Mydroth runs better than Nick did. I think he fields a bit better. I believe that he can play the three infield positions maybe a touch better. As far as being a pure hitter, we don't know yet from Mydroth, but he appears to be a guy that that will put the bat on the ball. Anytime you have like a 435 on base percentage in the high minors, you're doing a pretty good job of it. So this was a guy I know the Red Sox did not want to move, but in order to get what they wanted, which was a top of the rotation starter in Gary Crochet, you had to give up something. And I think all four of these guys are going to have an impact on the White Sox organization.
Stoney, Chase Mydroth had 207 walks compared to 185 strikeouts in his minor league career. And you mentioned the high OBP. He saw, I think, 15 pitches on Friday. His pitch selection seems really good. It's kind of exciting to think about that because, like, well, you tell us, as a pitcher, you can formulate a plan against a guy, but if he's got a really good eye and is forcing you inside the zone, does that mean that he can sustain some success a little bit more if he's really selective like that?
Well, look, I know that when you get to be in the game as long as I have, you're somewhat of a dinosaur, but I have embraced some of the statistical aspect of the game. So let's take a look for a second at pitchers who can get major league hitters to swing and miss in the strike zone. Gary Crochet is one of the top in baseball at that, and he can do it 25% of the time. So you take a guy with overwhelming stuff that 25% of the time can get you a swing and miss in the zone, which means if a guy is just swinging at pitches in the zone, he's going to make contact most of the time against lesser pitchers, and that's what Mydroth can do. He will make contact in the zone, and he doesn't go out of the zone too often. Anytime you find any hitter, and I don't care who he is, whether he's a home run hitter, a singles hitter, a guy who will occasionally hit the ball out of the ballpark, when you see him put the bat on the ball consistently, put the ball in play, put the pressure on the other team's defense, and not swing at pitches out of the zone, you got a guy who's going to be pretty good for you. And I think Chase is going to be one of those guys. He's not going to be the star of this team, but he's going to be a real strong contributor.
All right, look, Stoney, I'm going to buy a ticket for Sunday, May 4th against the Astros. And the reason that I'm going to buy a ticket, unless Brooks wants to hook me up, I need the Steve Stone Stormtrooper bobblehead for May the 4th Be With You Day. It debuted yesterday on the broadcast. Is this right, Stoney, that this is your first bobblehead?
Yeah, I've never had one, and this is my 56th year in the game. Nobody's ever made one, but I will tell you, I'm really pleased with the hair of that bobblehead. I mean, that is quality hair. We're talking. I don't think I ever had hair like that, so I'm very happy with it. As far as the mustache is concerned, this is the 70s edition of the bobblehead, and yes, they did give me the mustache that I wore for a while. Don't think it looked particularly good, but I wore one. So, yeah, I think a lot of people wore one. And if you remember a pitcher by the name of Mike Proley, it looked like we were twins separated at birth. And then we got to the White Sox together. Both of us had the identical mustaches, and that's the one that's on that bobblehead.
It's pretty crazy, too, because I was like, oh, Stormtrooper bobblehead. I didn't realize that they were going to allow for the helmet to come off. So when you when you did that yesterday, I was like, look at this. Like, this is a great way to get indoctrinated into having your own bobblehead. So I hope that you enjoy it as much as those of us who love you enjoyed that.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I did. I really did. And it also makes just a great paperweight. I mean, John has a lot of papers. John has a lot of papers in front of him. And because the wind has been howling at the ballpark the last few days, the papers are flying everywhere. So he used that as a paperweight, and things went really well. So, you know, it's nice if you can multitask. And it's nice to have a bobblehead that you can use in different areas of your broadcast.
You look good in the Stormtrooper outfit. Is it true that you do own one of those in real life? Is that true, Steve?
I would have liked to. Actually, I think the first one I saw, the first Star Wars I saw, I was in the first row because it was mobbed and everybody was going to see it, and there I was. So I think my neck is just starting to heal up now from that. But it was pretty exciting, actually. I kind of liked it. So, yeah, that's... It's a really nice looking bobblehead. I'm very happy that we finally got around to one, and It's kind of good. And again, boy, that hair is just outstanding.
Hey, Shane Smith yesterday, real good again. He's been good three times. He's got that changeup, which is nasty, and the fastball gets up there around, 95 usually? He's hit 97. Like, how real does Shane Smith seem as a big league pitcher, as a Rule 5 draft pick?
Oh, I think that stuff is going to play. I think you look at all of it and realize that this guy, number one, has a good fastball. It's not the greatest fastball around, but it certainly is good enough because he can throw it by some people, and he's got good command of it. I mean, I think you saw, especially to the right-handers when he was shaving off the outside corner, this guy's got a pretty good idea about what's going on. And the change that he pretty much invented for his own use is a really good pitch, and probably that's what differentiates him from the guy that was basically let go. And one of the things I said to Josh Barfield was, you can't tell me there are 39 other guys that are much better than this on the Milwaukee Brewers organization. And he said, no, but this is a different guy than threw for the Brewers last year. He's added a couple miles an hour, and the changeup is really a devastating pitch. So from what I've seen so far, he is absolutely for real. I like his attitude. I think what has to happen and what will happen, because bear in mind, you know, he started three major league games, and we're seeing some decrease third time through in the sixth inning a few different times. The stuff isn't quite the same. He talks about flying open, and I talk on the air about when a right-hand pitcher especially flies open with the front shoulder, he's going to leave everything up and away to left-hand hitters and up and into right-handers, and we've seen some of that. So he's got to get to the point where he pitches his way through the sixth, maybe through the seventh inning. It's going to take a while, but I think we've seen a guy that that certainly is probably the lower part, maybe a low two. It really doesn't matter what number you are in the rotation as long as you get the baseball. He's going to get the baseball. That stuff will play in the major leagues, and if he continues with it and making the progress that the White Sox can make with pitchers. I understand the problems this organization has had with developing power hitters and hitters just in general, but they've done a really nice job of developing pitchers. And with Ethan Katz leading the way, Brian Bannister coming to the organization this year, this is a really good pitching development organization. The strength of this team is going to be the young pitchers going forward, and I think Shane Smith is going to be one of those guys, and I also believe that the rest of the pitchers that will come up after him will benefit from the program that the White Sox have. I think it's starting to be really good. I think it's going to get better, and there's a lot of pitching talent in this organization.
Let's hope so, Steve. Garrett Crochet on Friday on a podcast out of Boston, and then again at the ballpark, was just talking about his reality and what it was like then when he was a member of the White Sox, and then talked about what it is like in Boston as he looked around him and saw the moves they're making and said, quote, "It feels like the big leagues," unquote. And it's just, did you catch wind of that? How did you feel about what Garrett had to say about the difference between the White Sox org and the Red Sox org at this point?
Well, the Red Sox organization at this point feels that they can win their division. And they went for it this year because their young players had come to the major leagues already. Abreu in right field looks like the real deal. It looks to me like they needed one offensive piece, and they got it in Bregman because they got a leader as well as getting a guy who can produce offensively. But they're in a different position than the White Sox are in. And for Garrett Crochet, you know, he came over here was a relief pitcher as a number one starter, basically a guy with a number one starter potential out of Tennessee. He came over, went to the bullpen, and I'm sure he realized that the White Sox were not ready to win just yet. And so they had to move him to get the pieces to put together a baseball team that is ready to win. So it's two teams in different situations. With the Red Sox understanding, I mean, they last year did basically what the White Sox are trying to do this year. Last year for the Red Sox was one of those developmental years, and that's what they did. It was a very tough year for them. There was a lot of holes. They filled some of them, certainly. but their young players in the field are just about ready to go. I think they're more advanced overall than our Sox are. But look, Garrett has nothing to be bitter about for a couple of different reasons. Number one, $170 million, boys, we would all work for half of that, wouldn't we?
Half?
I mean, that was kind of a nice thing that the White Sox were able to do, is help their organization and help Garrett Crochet go to a team that's going to be competitive. And he was able to get a contract that gives him lifetime security. Garrett's a wonderful guy. I really like him. I think he's a fine human being, and I think he's a wonderful player. But it's not lost on him where these two organizations are at this point. And so he was able to go to one that has a chance to win. He left one that was struggling, but one that's on the rise, I believe, as far as talent is concerned. And I hope one day the White Sox get to the point where they start acquiring the Garrett Crochets of the world and not divesting themselves of them.
From your lips to God's ear, I, as a former amateur catcher, I had flashbacks watching Matt Tice this past week. He has been getting destroyed behind the plate, and I feel for him.
Well, Lawrence, I started out as a catcher. It didn't take me long to realize that, yikes, that position is really tough. And in those days, I wasn't getting backswings hitting me in the head like Matt got a couple of times in the same game. So, you know, this is a position I don't think people realize how tough a guy you have to be to play that position and how all-encompassing it is, because you are one of the most, if not the most important person on the field. And the amount of knowledge you have is unbelievable, because you have to know every one of the opponent's hitters. You have to know every one of your pitchers. You have to know their strengths. You have to know their weaknesses. You have to know exactly what a guy has on a given day, and then try to change things if it's not going well. And then you factor in that you're going to take a beating. You're going to get hit by foul balls. You're going to have the occasional guy slide into you, although not as much as it used to be. And you're going to get hit with backswings, both on the elbow, as we saw with Matt, and in the head, which, you know, all things considered, I wouldn't want either of those. Then you take the foul ball that bounces off the back corner of the plate, or maybe bounces just beneath your legs, and comes up and hits you. Yes, it is a game of adjustment, but that adjustment I got tired of making, and I went to the mound.
Smart man. Stoney, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Okay, boys, and if you can get one of those bobbleheads, just take a look at that hair. It's magnificent.
It sure is.
I can't wait,
Mike,
man.
Mike Proley's mustache is a thing of beauty as well. Thank you, Google, during the segment. Steve Stone right there with us on 670 The Score.
Matt Tice got his ass whooped this weekend. I felt for him.
Man, last night our guy Nico Horner was mic'd up during the baseball game on Sunday night.
It was great, and it was weird.
But they kind of got in his way a little bit, too, I think.
Well, I think there's something else that got in his way. But we can discuss, and we can hear from Nico next on The Score.